from the Vätternrundan in Sweden. Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
This week's show has basically been written for us, hasn't it? Because the UCI have just announced some sweeping changes to their rules on equipment. That's right, they are banning things and people are not happy.
Not happy slash angry. We've also got tech news with six brand new group sets and some new wheels to talk about. The newly crowned elite national road champion, who's older than me, Si, and a purple chain.
Yep, you heard that bit correctly.
This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that Tadej Pogačar is so good that when he only finishes fourth in an individual time trial, people think he's faking it to play mind games with his rivals.
Yeah, I'm not sure that winning three stages and the overall at the Dauphiné can be described as mind games, even if he did appear to do it at a canter. We also learnt that whilst Matej Mohoric is an incredible bike handler, he isn't as good as Dan.
Well, he's even faster wheeling.
You beat me in a wheelie contest.
You can go again.
You need more practice.
I'm coming for you, Tadej. Now I'm f***ed. Oh, my heart rate's 159. That's the highest, one of the highest heart rates I've had in a long time.
Dan wrote that line for me, by the way, and I've just had to say it out loud.
Well, you've got to take the wins when they come along at my age, mate, and then publicise them at any opportunity.
Yeah. Didn't you have to take the wins when they came along at any age?
Well, that is true, but I would say that's true for the both of us.
That is true. My win was glorious.
Your win, yes. Right, finally, we learnt that the UCI have been quite busy over in Switzerland.
Yeah, and when the UCI have been busy, it inevitably means big news that stirs up some very strong opinions.
Yeah, we put up a YouTube short and an Instagram reel last week summarising the new technical regulations. And I think it's fair to say that the reaction to those videos and their regulations was a big reaction.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say it was a passionate response.
Yes. Now, before we go into what precisely has made their announcement so controversial, should we start by going through the UCI's new technical regulations in their own words so that we are all on the same page?
That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, number one, the maximum rim depth for mass start road events will be set to 65 millimetres as of the 1st of January next year.
And on that same date, the minimum width of handlebars measured outside to outside for mass start road and cyclocross events will be set at 400 millimetres with an inner width of no less than 320 millimetres between brake levers. Gravel riders, meanwhile, can go as wide as they like. I added that
I was going to say that wasn't in what I read.
Yeah, that's
Number three, on the track or the velodrome, that measurement of handlebars will be 350 millimetres outside to outside, but that one doesn't come into force until the 1st of January 2027.
I'm not sure anyone cares about that one, do they?
Oh, no, I'm kidding.
However, for both road and track bikes, from January 2026 and 2027 respectively, a maximum internal fork width of 115 millimetres at the front and 145 millimetres at the rear will be permitted.
Very nice. Then number five, a new helmets rule is going to be implemented on January the 1st next year. This one's not been precisely determined or even worded just yet, but basically sounds like it's going to be the end of time trial specific helmets in road races.
Yes!
Oh.
I think we can all agree that that last one's a good one, can't we?
Well, you certainly seem to be able to agree. That's the one that you seem most passionate about, isn't it, Si?
It's the one I'm most positive about. I mean, I think we can say that's a great decision, right? We all look bad enough as skinny, lycra-clad dweebs, or at least we do anyway, without adding a mushroom-shaped helmet on top.
I kind of get that, yes. But you're definitely not sitting on the fence with your opinion on that one,
are you? No, not at all.
Right, before we discuss these rules in more depth, we should also point out that some of these new regulations have come off the back of recommendations made by SAFER, which is an organisation dedicated to safety in professional road cycling, who in turn have said that they've been in consultation with teams, race organisers and the pro riders themselves.
Yeah, so it is important to point out the UCI are not doing this simply to annoy people. They are not rules for the sake of rules.
Not like the sock height rule.
Like the sock height one, no. So what it appears that they're trying to do is reduce the speed of racing.
With the hope that that will make things safer.
Yeah, or safer.
Exactly. And we're all for that here at GCN, of course. There's no doubt that equipment has played a large part in making professional bike racing faster than it's ever been. And that, combined with roads that are increasingly designed to slow vehicles down and a peloton that has more strength and depth than ever, is making road racing more dangerous.
Yeah. So, credit where credit is due, right? However, it seems fairly ill-judged, frankly. Firstly, the handlebar width ruling is just bizarre. And I think, frankly, discriminatory, okay? So this is a blanket rule for all riders. So it means that someone like Søren Varenschold, who is, what, 1.95 meters and 92 kilos, according to Pro Cycling Stats, is going to be racing on the same width handlebars, in all likelihood, as Guy Arelli.
Yeah, who's half a metre shorter than Søren Varenschold and less than half his weight. He weighs 40 kilos. Now, that is obviously taking two extremes of riders who aren't even competing against each other, obviously. But even within the men's and women's pelotons, there are extremes of rider size at either end of the spectrum.
Yeah. Now, it's not that Gaia Riolini can't ride 40-centimetre wide handlebars. She could, and it sounds like she'll have to. But the point here is that it will put her and all other riders who are smaller in stature, and we're not saying you have to be, like, really small, like anyone smaller than, what, 1.80 meters, may no longer be able to use their most comfortable bike setup. So it frankly puts them at a disadvantage to their taller, heavier peers.
This has, to some degree, already been an issue in the sport, hasn't it? I'm talking about the weight limit by the UCI of 6.8 kilograms for bikes. So 6.8 kilos when you're 40 kilograms, like Guy Riolini, is obviously a much bigger proportion of your overall system weight than if you're 90 kilograms plus.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the UCI do have some equipment rules that are based on a rider's stature, aren't they? So on time trial bikes, for example, you can have a longer reach from the saddle to the tip of the aero handlebars if you're above a certain height.
Yeah, so the UCI are aware that in order to make things fair, you should make concessions based on rider height, which makes this rule of 40 centimetre bars for all pro road riders seem even stranger.
Yeah, they are, frankly, penalising smaller riders. Mm. It's as simple as that. And the thing is, I don't think it will be any safer anyway. So having brake hoods 32 centimetres apart is still pretty narrow, right? And then what would inevitably have to be a flared handlebar at the drops to meet that requirement. So riders will still have the narrow position that's presumably what they're trying to stop out of fears for a lack of control. And indeed, that's still aero, right? But what's worse is that when you're riding in a bunch with flared handlebars, that part of the bar will be the first thing to come into contact with another rider or riders in close proximity. So it's actually, like, instead of your elbows bumping off people, it'll be your handlebars. And that is ridiculously sketchy.
Yeah, the last thing you want at any point on a ride is the handlebars to be hit in any way, isn't
it?
Playing devil's advocate though, Si, it's not that long ago that pretty much every male rider was using bars that were at least 40 centimetres wide and not flared either, and not with interned hoods.
Yeah, it's true. I think probably most male riders were, but not all, and certainly not by any stretch of imagination, the majority of women riders. Mm. So I think most smaller riders were already using smaller bars. And now it feels a little bit like they're going to get punished because of taller riders wanting to get more aero, right?
Now, we thought we'd read out a couple of comments that we had underneath our Instagram post from last week. As a former professional rider and Tour of Flanders winner, Corin Rivera said, I guess I retired just in the nick of time. Ran 36 to 38 centimetre bars my whole career.
There you go. Proof's in the pudding. And Emma Pooley.
Nice to see Emma getting in the comments.
I want to say our own Emma Pooley, but that was quite a long time ago, wasn't it? Anyway, Emma Pooley, who used to be a GCN presenter, replied, I think the reasoning of the UCI cycling goes like this. If we wanted to be comfortable on bikes, then we should have been smart enough to grow taller.
Oh, shots fired.
Yeah, but she's got a point, right?
Yeah, she has. Yeah.
It does seem like the commission, the Safer Commission, have come at it from a point of aerodynamics and forgotten that handlebar width has traditionally been about bike fit, by and large. And, I mean, I don't want to try and stir anything too much here, but I did have a look at who makes up the Safer Commission. Yeah. Out of 13 people, only two are women, one of whom is a commissaire, the other was a world road race champion back in 1997. And I did have a look. According to Pro Cycling Stats, she is 5'6", or 173 centimetres. Okay. So not particularly small.
Well, as two middle-aged men, we can't really talk about representation, Si.
No,
I
mean,
like to criticise.
This is absolutely true, but we're not setting any rules either, are we? And I don't for one minute think that this was intentional on the part of the UCI, but it is an oversight, isn't it?
Mm. Anyway, back to the comment underneath the Instagram post. There was one reply that got 2,500 likes from Eddie Ward, who said, the handlebar rule should be proportional, no less than X percent of the rider's shoulder width. Simple as.
Yeah. I mean, it does sound simple when you put it that way.
It does.
Although it would require a lot of shoulder and handlebar measuring.
It would do, actually, wouldn't it?
Yes, a lot of start line stress. There. Yeah, not good.
But they seem to be able to measure sock height for quite a few people before each stage, so shoulder width shouldn't be too much problem. But there is data, isn't there, to show the correlation between shoulder width and what handlebars you should comfortably be using.
Well, there is, isn't there? So we reached out to our friends at ID Match, which is a global bike fitting system, isn't it, that uses scientific data to match people up to the right bike fit. You've done it, I've done it, mm-hmm. Ollie's done it. Ollie's made a video about it. You made a video about it.
I did, yeah. I got 38 centimetre bars, Si.
Did you?
Despite going to the gym. My shoulders just aren't that wide yet.
Well, so anyway, so we reached out to them, okay, and ID Match said they've just completed their 100,000th bike fit worldwide. And they do, it's a standardised bike fit for every person. So they've got a huge truckload of, like, actual data. Anyway, they said that worldwide, ID Match recommends that 28% of people have handlebars narrower than 40 centimetres.
Almost a third.
Almost a third. Of men, it's 22%. But women, 69% of women.
Oh, wow. So only two-thirds.
Two-thirds of women should, according to ID Match, be on handlebars narrower than 40 centimetres, which would be outlawed by the UCI.
Now, before we get on to the other rules, we wanted to point out two things. One, we reached out to the UCI for comment, but we haven't heard anything back. Although, to be fair, that was only about 6 hours ago as we record this. And I imagine they've probably had quite a few similar requests being sent over the weekend.
True. We'll do a UCI comment update next week, shall we?
Okay, can do, yeah.
Yeah. Secondly, it might seem obvious, but these new rules only apply to professional riders. For the rest of us, we're free to choose the handlebars and position that are most comfortable, or the most aero, or both.
Or both, yes. Maybe we should make up our own GCN equipment rules just to upset Ollie.
He wouldn't follow the rules anyway.
Oh, no, that is very true, yeah.
Yeah, okay, on to the other rules, briefly. For me, the rim depth one isn't going to make any difference because you basically never see riders using wheels deeper than 50 mil anymore, let alone the 65 that's now the limit.
I agree, that is a bit pointless. Now, time trial helmets in road races, Si. You've already made your opinion very clear on that one, I would say. And that leaves us then with fork and seat stay width.
Yeah. Now, I don't have a problem with that one. I mean, it's got to be really annoying for a company like Factor, who have spent a whole load of time and money developing a new bike that was, at the time of development, within the regulations. I don't know the measurements specifically of the new bike, but I'd say it's quite likely that it will fall foul the new rules.
I think it might well do. And that's before it's even been officially released, isn't it? I shouldn't laugh. No. That is going to sting, as Factor. And who knows, actually, what other manufacturers had been developing that we hadn't even seen just yet. They'll now be redundant, of course.
For pros.
Yes, for the pros.
Yeah. Lots and lots of normal people will be wanting a bike that aerodynamic.
Once again, we can get a better, more aero bike and position in the pros.
True that, so, should we sum up, Dan? In conclusion, we think the UCI are trying to do the right thing. They are trying to make racing safer, which is what riders and fans have been calling for. But they've done it in a way that will affect some riders more than others and probably won't really help anyway. I mean, what is next? It's a question I want to know. Pogacar using really short cranks and going really fast. So we could just ban short cranks, make everyone use 175mm.
You seem quite animated about this as well as the helmets.
Well, I am. I actually am. You know what? Like, so I tend to stick up for the UCI because I do think that they try to do the right thing, often in, frankly, impossible situations. But this one does just seem a little bit dumb.
Sigh has spoken.
Well, do you not think that?
Well, we'll ask the viewers now, shall we? I'm going to sit on the fence.
What?
Yeah, that's my favourite position. I find it comfy. Let us know what you think at home. We'd love to hear your thoughts on these new regulations and how you think they'll affect the racing. So let us know in the comments section down below.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now. I'm going to start with some big tech news. New super narrow handlebars. No, I'm just kidding.
You're joking.
Yeah, just kidding. No, SRAM have just launched four new group sets. So Force and Rival for both road and gravel. And yeah, they are four distinct group sets, given that, like the top of the range red level, their Explore gravel group sets are 13 speed as opposed to 12 speed on the Axis road ones.
In fact, all the group sets promise the same functionality as the top tier red group sets, just with a bit more weight and a lower price point, which means the completely redesigned levers, next level braking, and in the case of the Explore groups, the same robust direct mount attachments for the rear derailleur.
Yeah, now that last point does of course mean that you will need a compatible frame to be able to run the new Explore gravel group sets, which will almost certainly mean that unless your frame is released in the last, well, couple of years, you won't be able to use that 13-speed option. But virtually all new bikes now come with the ability to run direct mount or full mount, as SRAM call it.
As well as the new tech, the weights have also been reduced compared to previous versions. So the new Force Axis Road is now 183 grams lighter than it was before. The Rival Axis sheds 213 grams. Force Explore sheds 84 and Rival Explore 23.
Yeah. You can also get a purple chain.
A what, Si? A purple chain?
A purple chain. Yeah. Move over gold. Purple is what you need if you want to slay.
Oh, my word.
Do you want to slay, Dan?
I already do, mate. Well, I think in reality, we're both too old to slay or even know what it means. Right, whilst we're on new tech...
I'm too old to want a purple chain, mate, that's for sure.
Yeah, I thought you were. Whilst we're on new tech, Oquo have just released an updated fleet of top-end wheel sets of different depths, hopefully not more than 650mm for pro road riders.
650mm?
Oh,
no,
yeah,
that's quite deep.
That's a disc. Anyway, for both road and gravel, with the biggest news perhaps them designing and manufacturing their own hubs from their home in the Basque Country.
Yeah. As in, that's where the company's based, yeah, isn't it? Not that they're specifically working from home.
No. The free hub uses a ratchet design, the super light, and they're touting all-weather reliability, which, given the reputation of the Basque Country's infamous weather, you'd hope and think would be true.
Yeah. Now, sticking with the Basque Country, briefly, our mates at Orbea have also just announced that they have a very nice-looking integrated cockpit that's going to be an update to their Orca models moving forwards.
Now, I think at the start of the show, we promised six new groups, didn't we? So we've done four,
yep,
so we better get back to them. There's been quite the rush of them recently, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Campagnolo launched their 13-speed super record. Like SRAM Explore, it's 13-speed, but having double chain rings makes it the first ever 26-speed group set.
Yeah, they have reduced the price slightly, apparently, from the previous generation. So it's now only $4,750.
Oh, what a bargain.
Yeah.
Lastly, TRP launched their much-anticipated group set, which collaborates with Classified, which is the hub-based shifting system, and it's called the Vista Power Shift. I've not tried it yet, but it does look quite cool.
It does, doesn't it?
And promises not 13, not 14, not 15, but 16 speeds. Although with a little bit of a sleight of hand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're intentionally trying to mislead, but basically they've got a 12-speed cassette, haven't they? But drawing on the Classified hub's ability to shift instantaneously under load, they've got an optional shifting function that you can switch on that effectively makes it like a 16-speed sequential system as opposed to having a traditional, like, two derailleur, 2x12 setup.
OK, I pretend to understand that. But either way, exciting times for group
sets. Oh, it is exciting times.
I don't think we've had this much choice since the 90s.
No.
Probably, which I barely remember.
Not just the big two, not the big three. We've got four, plus all the amazing, interesting stuff coming out of China.
Did we have a 90s Sun Tour, wasn't it?
So Shimano, Campy, Suntour, and then there was Mavic for a time.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sachs as well. Do you remember Sachs?
Oh, I do remember. I thought there was another one beginning with S. I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
Next up, then, some super interesting health news for you. Using the data from almost 500,000 people here in the UK, observed over the last 13 years, researchers have found that people that cycle for transport have a 19% lower risk of developing dementia and a 40% lower risk of developing young onset dementia.
Those are huge figures.
Massive, aren't they? Yeah.
Can you imagine if there was a pill that offered those kind of benefits?
It'd be an expensive pill, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but how much would people / governments pay?
Yeah, very true.
Do you know what I mean? Very to true. Get those kind of benefits across at a population level.
Mm. What's interesting about this research as well is that walking did not show the same correlation. So you either wonder why cycling is more beneficial or whether there are issues extrapolating information on people's activities from large-scale health data, perhaps.
You know what I think, mate?
What?
Walking's boring. That's why. It's no protective influence.
Like,
it's not exciting, is it?
No, it's not exciting.
Not like cycling.
Well, I did do that speed walk a couple of years ago that you took the mick out of me for. Sub-8-minute Ks.
I can't even remember that, but I would happily take the mick out of you again for speed walking.
Well, this is before I started getting healthy. You basically said you'd disown me if I started speed walking.
I stand by that. Sounds like something a wise person would say. Back to the research.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
The researchers talked about how they actually have taken into account a load of other factors. So it's not just taken at face value, this, right? They've factored in income, lifestyle variables, all sorts, basically, and, you know, pre-existing health conditions, the works. Right, moving on to racing now. French legend Romain Bardet has retired, hasn't he, from life as a pro on finishing his home tour, which is the Critérium du Dauphiné. He did that one final time.
Fantastic. Over the last 13 years, he's amassed quite an enviable list of wins, which include four stages at the Tour de France and two podium finishes, one third overall and one second place overall.
Yeah, and I think it was those podium places that sort of went on to define his career, wasn't it? It kind of catapulted him on into the spotlight in France as a potential winner of their beloved race. And then I think that sort of placed quite the burden of pressure and responsibility on him, didn't it? And whilst he'd never lived up to it in terms of results, I think you can say that he absolutely lived up to his billing as a role model and as an ambassador
great
for the sport.
Great rider, yeah. And he's only 34, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that is a fair age to retire at, isn't it?
But yeah, probably. Not if you're from Finland, though. Nice segue, that, actually.
Thanks.
Thank you. The new men's national road racing champion in Finland is 45.
Yeah.
I'm not even 45 yet.
Valverde has not swapped nationalities, has he?
No. No, Johan Nordlund was the winner of the Finnish National Championships. He won solo by over a minute.
Whoa.
I reckon I'm going to have a crack at the British Nationals next year. See if I can convert those 2 second places into gold.
I'd like to watch that then.
It was a joke. Just
if this video gets 10,000 likes.
Bored of that.
20,000.
No,
how many likes has the video got to get in order for you to...
I'm not doing the Nationals. I just won't be fit enough.
Well, you could start.
All right.
We're going to... I mean, yeah.
Okay.
20,000? 20,000 likes, Dan will start the British National Road Race Champs next year.
This is getting ridiculous.
Oh, you've got to have something to aim for next year, mate.
Yeah.
Other than Unbound XL.
Not doing that either.
All right. Anyway, there is some potential good racing news coming from the United States this week, isn't there? Moving on. The journalist Daniel Benson has written a story saying that a major new US team is going to be announced this week with pro riders Alex Howes, Ty Magne and Joey Roscoff as co-directors of the new venture.
And we hope it's true because it'll be a much needed ray of hope for men's US road racing, whose landscape has been looking a bit bleak of late.
Yeah,
would you agree?
Hasn't it? Yeah.
So there's two US registered men's world tour teams, EF Education, Easy Post and Lidl Trek. But they've only got four US riders in two 30-man squads, whereas the rumour is that this new team would have American riders making up at least half the team.
Yeah. I think that can only be a positive thing for cycling in the US.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's hope it happens.
Fingers crossed.
By the sound of things, we won't have to wait too long to hear. Before we finish news and stuff like that, can we just say thank you to everyone who's already filled out the GCN survey that we mentioned on last week's show. If you haven't found, as John Canning said, less than 10 minutes.
Well, I noticed a few comments saying that John Canning was lying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends. Like, are you the kind of person that takes your time over surveys? You know, but anyway, broadly speaking, 10 minutes. So yeah, it'd be a huge help to us. And ultimately, I think it will also benefit you all as well, because we can read your answers and then give us some info to tailor our content to suit. So yeah, please take the time.
There'll be a link in the description below. It is now time for Hack /Bodge of the Week. First up this week, this from Jordan, incline bike pump mount. My Grizzle had only one bolt under the top tube and I wanted to mount the bike pump there. Made a 3D printed mount that neatly lines below the top tube and holds the pump securely. Very light, less than 20 grams, and only uses one bolt. Best of all, it's slim and hides under the top tube.
Dan?
Yep.
I'm slightly confused. If you attach something with one bolt,
yeah,
how do you stop it spinning around?
To tighten it really hard.
Now, I wait to be corrected. Whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I'm gonna sit on that fence that you were occupying during our lead story about the UCI.
I'm not. I'm going hack.
Okay. I'm going for possible bodge until there could be proof that this will not spin round and round and round. By the way, if you're wondering why the Grizzle has one bolt under the top tube, it's so that you can attach the specific Canyon bags. They've got this like super nice Fidlock mounting system. At least I think it's Fidlock. Mm. Anyway, magnets and stuff. It's cool. All right. Well, apologies, Jordan, that you've only got half the endorsements that you were after. Martin, up next, with a spider's web protection system. I was cycling with my dinosaur of a mountain bike on a lovely single track in Istria, Croatia. Well, that does sound nice.
Does sound
I was having problems with a crazy amount of spider's webs hitting me straight into the face, so I invented a spider's web protection system. All the best, Martin from Slovenia. I love this. This is amazing.
We should probably describe it for podcast listeners.
All right, it's a video.
It's a video. What we see here, Si, is somebody riding down a single track trail with a massive stick, basically taped to the front of the handlebars.
It looks a bit like an antler, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, just to get all the spider's webs out of the way from his face before they go through.
To be fair, there is one of those grim things about riding narrow trails at certain times of year where you get spider's webs in your face. So yeah, I think that's a hack from me.
It's a hack, is it?
That's a hack. Yeah, the other one, I'm on the fence. I just think that's brilliant.
I'm not sure I can say that a stick on some handlebars is a hack. All right, I'll go with you then.
All right, brilliant. Yeah,
nice. Reggie 3073 put, we recently downsized into an apartment and my trainer now lives in the garage. Space is a bit limited, so I've used a couple of furniture dollies to quickly and easily move the trainer where I need it to tuck it away when I'm done. It's a lot easier than lifting it. Have you seen this one yet, Si?
Nope.
Okay.
We'll describe it for podcast listeners.
Okay. Well, it's already been described basically. Rather than lifting the bike with the trainer attached, it goes onto these dollies, and he can just neatly move it to the side and against the wall, rather than picking it up. Although he has to pick it up to get it on the dolly.
I was going to say what I've seen is I've witnessed a man pick up his bike and turbo trainer to put them on furniture dolly.
He doesn't have to take it as far, does he?
And
he did one bit at a time.
No. I mean, it's super neat. I do like it. Maybe if those trolleys had, like, locks on them, you know what I mean? Where you've got, like, the wheel locks, where there's, like, you just clamp the wheels down, and then you could train on those things.
Oh, don't think I want to do that.
Well, if they're locked in place, you'd be right. If they come off, you might end up...
a bit of movement, surely.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Or the power I'm putting through the pedals.
And the amount of upper body motion that you have to put in to get that power out. Yeah. But yeah, maybe you would end up sailing through your garage door. Now, I love the idea, but I sort of feel like maybe it's a solution.
It's so grumpy this week. I'll go hack then.
All right, okay. Lastly, we got this one sent in from Rugby Murph. Couldn't let a broken spoke stop the bash. Look it up. It's bike mounted hash. Look that up. It's a kind of running treasure hunt for beer. Hash House Harriers.
I like how we haven't had to look any of it up.
No, brilliant.
A continued explanation.
Thanks for that, Murph. Anyway, couldn't let the broken spoke stop the pursuit of finding the beer. It was the Red Dress Hangover Bash.
We need to look that up.
Yeah, probably. You may have to look closely. Is the zip tie is neatly trimmed. Okay, hunt the zip tie. Oh my word! That is neatly trimmed.
The zip tie.
Did that
for
work?
For podcast listeners.
I mean, yeah, here we can see a beautiful example of an old Mavic Cerium wheel. with two spokes zip tied together. I mean, I can't imagine that's going to provide much in the way of structural integrity. Presumably, it's just stopped the spoke flapping around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just to be able to get around the ride. Hopefully, the wheel wasn't too buckled rubbing on the rim brakes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's a roadside hack, isn't it?
I'm going hack as well. Looks like a substantial zip tie, that, doesn't
does,
it?
Does, yeah, that's what we like. At least if you're going to use a zip tie, make it count.
Looks like it's going to be hard to cut off.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, hack from me.
Yeah, hack from me.
Oh, very good.
As long as, Rugby Murph, you have now removed the zip tie and fixed it.
And replaced the spoke.
Exactly.
Don't forget, this is the part of the show, or one of them, that you can get involved in yourself. Go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below. We will pick a winner. In fact, should we do that now?
Yeah, let's do that now. Last week's photo was this one from the start line of a Criterium du Dauphiné stage with Pogačar in yellow, Jonas Vingegaard in the green jersey, and our winner is...
You waiting for me today?
Yeah.
Play and Teach. Congratulations to you. The caption was, "Hey Jonas, keep that hand down when I win. It's going to cost you 100 Swiss francs." Which actually is a reference to a UCI rule, isn't it?
It is.
Where people can't celebrate another person's win when they're...
I think it specifies behind. Teammates, though, doesn't it?
So Jonas would be allowed to celebrate Tadej's win?
Yeah, if he wanted to. I think if he wanted to, it wouldn't be against current UCI rules.
Ah, okay. Apparently it's dangerous to celebrate your teammates' victories.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I don't mind that rule. I just don't like the way it's being implemented.
I mean,
it's a sprint finish and you've got people trying to come round you after you've done a lead out and you've got your hands in the air slowing down, that can be dangerous. If it's like a mountaintop finish, what was it Vollering got done for last week?
Yeah. She finished sixth or something. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's like a marginal gain, isn't it, I suppose? Marginal safer gain. So, yeah.
Right, get in touch with us on Facebook, Play and Teach, with your address, and we'll get a bottle sent out to you. This week's photo, also from the Dauphiné, this is Ivan Romeo of Movistar, who was the yellow jersey going into the stage for individual time trial. I'll get you started. Kiss my bars. Probably not quite as good as last week's, but I'm going with it.
I mean, to be fair, I prefer it to last week's. A lot of people in the comment section said your caption was inspired last week. Made me think that I'd perhaps not understood it properly.
When I read those responses, I'm not sure I understood my own caption. I actually didn't think it was very good at all.
You know, when you're saying about getting in touch on Facebook, it suddenly reminded me that last week's winner got in touch with me.
Oh, and me.
On Instagram. Did you do anything about it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm so sorry, because I saw your message and then completely forgot. So,
Yeah, I then got in contact with John Cannings to find out what I needed to do next. He shared a spreadsheet with me. I filled out the details of the winner and there should be a bottle winging its way over as we speak.
That is a relief. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, mate.
At least one of us is...
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing.
Right, put the caption in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. And if you don't hear anything from GCN, just message Si on Instagram. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week. But first up, a few comments from last week's videos. As ever, we're going to start with a few from underneath the show, which last week was about how GCN makes money. Rebecca 4958 wrote in to say, "I've been following GCN since its early years, and to me, it's always felt like one big, wonderful, happy family." In front of camera, it does. "The authenticity and honesty shines through, and you take us with you without an air of supremacy or superiority. You all have your own wonderful strengths, weaknesses, and individual personalities, and collectively, you make the cycling world a more enjoyable place to be. So thank you for all the years of superb entertainment, advice, and support for us lycra-clad tribe. Long may it continue. Keep up the good work, everyone, and thank you."
That's really lovely.
Feels a bit sort of, I don't know how to describe it, reading that out, which is very complimentary towards what we do here at GCN, but I did think it was lovely.
Yeah.
Hence why I put it in.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. And there were others as well commenting... saying that you like GCN. So that's really cool.
It felt quite nice.
Yeah, it did. It was really, really nice. And because that wasn't why we made the video, but it was very nice that that was the response. Louis HV2 said, "You clearly forgot the fifth revenue stream, which is Alex selling off some of his infinite supply of Duracell cranksets." Yep. So, yeah, it's funny. They seem to be worth a lot more than our Campagnolo 11-speed cassettes from 2012.
No,
but I wonder whether now
that there's 13 speed, they'll be probably retro, won't they?
Well, this is it, right? So it gets to a point where you just have to keep hold of something until it becomes worth a lot more money.
More than it is now.
Yeah, exactly. So we've gone through the sort of the lowest point, and they're only going to come up from here.
Oh, we're going to.
So it'd basically be like a GCN gets a cash injection in what, 2030, maybe?
Something
like that.
Or maybe when we're retired at 80, we just get a nice bit of pocket money.
Maybe, yeah. And then Patinka 721 said, very transparent video, GCN. Thank you for telling us how you run the company.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Underneath six ways to improve your average speed on a road bike. Sean Yates, I'm presuming not the Sean Yates from back in the day. I watched this video on double speed so I could get faster.
Nice.
That's a very good one.
Chicken Rice Laxer. Said, I've been subscribed long enough to be confused when they appeared in those jerseys, thinking it was a re-upload of an old video. That's right. We got some new kit, haven't we, Dan?
We have indeed. In fact, in my video on Saturday, I said we'd say more about that kit on today's show. I just realised that we haven't. have to say it for next week's.
Declan, we can say something about it now, if you like. We've got a new kit.
We have, yeah. And made independently by us here at GCN. So it is a sort of nod to a previous design, which we really loved at the time and still love now, obviously, hence why we made it.
Yeah. And we make it ourselves. Well, yeah. Kind of.
But yeah. Yeah, it's not me and Si stitching in the room next door, but you know what we mean.
Yeah.
There's more details over at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. There is a QR code on screen right now as well. And those of you who watched last week's show will know that that's a big revenue stream for us selling our merchandise, so your support is always massively appreciated.
Yeah.
Declan Broderick wrote in and said, I use the same logic with headwinds. We're back to the average speed video.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Go harder into the wind and take it easier when it's at your back. Feels odd, but the results don't lie.
No, they don't. And it does feel like weirdly counterintuitive at times, doesn't it? But there you go. Now, the latest of Dan's updates for his journey back to not just health and fitness, but now international racing stardom, yeah. I think we can say. What we learned said, I am so happy that Dan is doing more videos himself, coerced or not.
Yeah.
And then Fred Servalo said, Dan, on the day you announced you do the Ambitious for Autism ride, if you raise enough money, I was inspired by your attempt... I was inspired by you to attempt the same distance the same weekend from my home.
Oh, wow.
Our oldest daughter was diagnosed 5 years ago. My training's gone well enough. A few 160Ks, many 100Ks and Zwift races for intensity. This will be the longest ride of my life by over 140 kilometres. Pretty much the same as you then, isn't it, basically? I anxiously await the challenge. Thank you, Dan. Cheers and good luck.
Oh, good luck to you, Fred. As well, Fred. Yes, that sounds amazing. Nick and Jay put, there was a brief one-week window where Dan went from not riding at all to being the People's GCN presenter with relatable power numbers, but it only took him a few weeks of training to rocket past that stage. I do wonder whether people get a bit frustrated, but what I would say is that I did spend like 20 years riding a lot, and that's kind of in the bank. It's a bit like sort of money savings, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Can I say Connor this morning when we were discussing it was just like, yeah, I think I'm the slowest GCN presenter again. He too is slightly crestfallen. But yeah, anyway. I mean, to be honest with you, I think he'd still have you.
I think he probably would
too
as
well. Yeah, watch out, Connor. Dan's coming for you.
Underneath right bike, wrong ride, where Si and I tested a couple of different Pinarellos with different tyres. Mavado Ken, I've done that badly, haven't I? Mavado Ken, yep. Loki, the best video on changing a tube on the side of the road. Authentic as heck, working hard while getting info dunked from bystanders. Yeah, this was Si lecturing me about why I'd punctured as I fixed the puncture on the side of the road in southern France.
Yeah, in the wilderness. And then Arthur NS4Y8 said, old school style videos with Dan back on the bike, retro looking kit, etc. is great. Love this trend. Can we have Speedo wearing Simon back now?
Moving on to what's coming up on the channel this week.
If this video gets 4 likes, I will wear Speedos again.
I don't think that's what most people want. Anyway, what's coming up on the channel this week? On Thursday, we are going to teach you how to tackle steep climbs. There are a few specific techniques that you can use to make them easy for yourself.
Yep.
And on Friday, can't say too much. Got a new bike launch though. Yeah. Stay tuned.
There's one on Thursday as well, actually. So if you
on the tech channel.
Yeah, if you watch GCN Tech Show, you will see that as well. On Saturday, we went for a cheeky little gravel ride to celebrate the solstice, which is the longest day of the year. And we did it at one of the most spiritual places, Dan. Stonehenge here in the UK.
So, not far from me, though.
No, blooming good fun. And then on Sunday, you've been waiting patiently for it.
Finally,
Alex is unbound. It's going to be released. So, yeah, make sure you check that one out.
Been a big edit, that one, hasn't it? I mean, it's quite a long ride, to be fair. 9 hours, whatever yes. It was it took him.
10 hours, mate.
Sorry, 10 hours.
9:57, just snuck in there, didn't he?
Right, that brings us to the end of another GCN show. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back at the same time next week.
Yeah, remember, hit the like button many, many times to get down to do the British National Road Race Championships next year, in addition to Unbound XL. And I might wear some speedos. No, I'm taking that off. The agenda, not removing speedos.